Louisiana, having received a majority of the votes cast, is duly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives.
After weeks of infighting, Mike Johnson got elected today with 220 votes. Here's CBS's Robert Costa.
He's well known inside the House, not outside the House, and he's someone who's kept a low profile on television, but he's well known as almost a conservative figure rising through the policy ranks in the House.
Johnson also got a stamp of approval from former President Trump. He replaces ousted Kevin McCarthy. President Biden weighed in on the war in the Middle East today from the White House, where he's hosting Australia's prime minister.
The president and the prime minister both say the U.S. and Australia stand by Israel following the October 7th attack by Hamas.
Israel has the right, and I would add a responsibility, to respond to the slaughter of their people.
At the same time, Mr. Biden says he has urged Israel's prime minister to do everything possible to minimize civilian casualties and to get the hostages out of Gaza. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
The humanitarian crisis in Gaza continues to worsen as the United Nations calls for a ceasefire to rush more aid in. CBS's Holly Williams has the latest there from Jerusalem.
The United Nations says a third of Gaza's hospitals have stopped functioning, either because they're damaged or because of a lack of fuel to power their generators. At Al-Nusra Hospital, they're still open, still saving lives when they can. Many of the injured are very young.
Nearly three dozen teddy bears with blindfolds were also lined up at a fountain in Tel Aviv for Israeli children held hostage by Hamas. Donald Trump got hit with another fine today for violating the gag order in his fraud trial in New York. It comes as CBS News learns former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is cooperating with federal investigators investigating January 6.
Well, I don't believe that because I've spoken to Mark Meadows many, many times over the years, and he strongly believed the election was rigged.
Meadows claims he warned Trump against fraud claims in 2020. The United Auto Workers could be close to making a deal now with Ford. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert is in Detroit.
If intense negotiations now going on can hammer out a tentative deal at Ford, it would likely set a pattern that the union would take to GM and Stellantis. The Associated Press says the key to the deal would be a 25% pay increase along with cost of living adjustments and profit sharing.
Apple raised its prices for Apple TV Plus streaming services today from $6.99 to $9.99. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-737-9944. That's 1-800-737-9944. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-737-9944. That's 1-800-737-9944.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again!
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, October 26th. The South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet at 12:15 in Madison. The Edgewater Haven Donation Ad Hoc Committee will meet at 4 p.m. in the Riverblock Auditorium in Room 206. The Wisconsin Rapids Finance and Property Committee will meet at 4 in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The Wood County Health and Human Services Committee will meet at 5 in the Riverblock Auditorium, Room 206. The Committee of the Whole of the Wisconsin Rapids Common Council will meet at 5 in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The Village of Port Edwards Committee of the Whole will meet at 4 in the Marshall Bueller Center. In Portage County, the Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 4 in the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. In Adams County, the Economic Development Meeting will take place at 8 a.m. in the town of Rome. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 54. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow, 65, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 61.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 25th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here at 3:30. We're going to welcome in our friends from the ODC, catch up with them. A lot to talk about with them and a lot to talk about with our current guest. We have Lance Plimlin with us, our friend, Wood County Board Chairman, along with our good friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I want to say a good afternoon to them. Thank them for being here and encourage you to go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, like and subscribe to that page, keep up to date and all the great work that they are doing over there. Lance, how you been?
I'm good, James. How are you doing?
Doing good. It's good to see you, man.
It's good to be here. It'd be nice if it, you know, we had no rain all summer.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I mean, it looks like it hasn't been daylight now for 2 days.
No, I don't think we've had daylight for days.
A little bit depressing out there, but.
To be fair, the sun needed a break. Sun's on vacation.
We'll go with that.
We'll just go with that. We'll roll with that. I got a couple things I wanted to talk with you about today, Lance. I wanted to start off with a news release we just got about our parks and from our Parks and Forestry Department, talking about the campgrounds being closed and reminding everybody about that. And certainly a kind of wrap up of the summer season, which kind of got me thinking about for you guys on the board, what that means for all of you. And if there is some, you know, changes as the season comes about and how the summer was for our community.
Well, the summer was really good. You know, this started a couple of years ago when you had some of the lockdowns with COVID. A lot of people turned to camping. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the revenue we derive in our parks departments come from those campgrounds and in use of those parks. So we've had some really outstanding years. You know, we'd love to keep the campgrounds open even longer, but there's things like water that freezes.
Yeah, that whole chest.
And some of those things. But it's been great. You know, in the mix of both in-county and out-of-county campers, for instance, and people using our parks is pretty interesting as well. You know, it's pretty close to a 50-50 split. But, you know, one of the things that really always impresses me with the parks is it's one of the few programs that we have in Wood County that regardless of, you know, whether it be income or qualification, that everybody can use.
Yeah.
And we've got one of the best park systems in the state of Wisconsin here in Wood County. We've also got 38,000 acres of county forest land that you can use for other activities. So parks are great. So as camping winds down and, you know, the boat launches, they're not closed, but as the docks come out, they get harder to use, you know, prior to ice fishing. You know, there's other opportunities out there. You know, Powers Bluff will start to ramp up with our winter sports facility. We've got the mountain bike trails out there now, which we assume is going to have tremendous amount of use. Mm. So we just transition from one season to the next and hope the public goes out and uses those. Because our parks department is on the tax levy for some dollars. But at the end of the day, the more revenue we garner through, you know, camping and some of the user fees at boat launches and trail fees certainly offset that levy. So the goal always is 100% occupancy in the campgrounds. We're not quite there yet, but we're working on it.
Getting there. We have two shelters available to rent during the winter months, too. Keep that in mind. The ATV intensive use area and NEPCO Lake County Park shelter buildings are both available to rent throughout the year. Visit our Parks and Rec department to find out more information. You can always give them a call, 715-421-8422, 421-8422, and visit them at co.wood.wi.us. If you type into your search bar, Wood County, it'll pop up.
Yeah, I say, how do you Google that?
Go right ahead and throw it in the search bar. That's what I do. It's a quick way of doing that.
You know, and it's a quick thing. It hasn't started yet, but, you know, we're in the process of – there's another building that's going to be going up out at Lake Wazicha South Park that will be a four-season opportunity for rentals out there. And that's one of the things we found over time is having park shelters is great.
Yeah.
Obviously, those enclosed shelters that have heat and air are more expensive to build, but the usage is obviously increased, you know, almost exponentially because of the times and the weather and everything else. So we strive to do that. And that one, I think we're out to bid on that right now. Construction will probably start this summer, and then by the next year, we'll be up and going. It was originally designed and is designed primarily as a a safe shelter in case of storm. But it's going to have the capability to be used for all of those other activities as
Nice. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. I had not heard about that.
Me too, because I was asking a whole bunch of questions about it. This was a process where there was dollars available, grant dollars, to create these, safe shelters. And we went through that application process. There's a dollar match on that. But when we looked at some of the problems we've had with storms and some of those other incidents that have occurred out at the park, especially, we always joke about it, but always tends to be during the water ski tournament when you have thousands of people in town, and they needed the space. So we're going to be able to book events out there, with the one caveat being if there's a giant storm coming through, your event might get disrupted because it's a shelter. But those don't happen. Those don't happen often, but they do happen occasionally.
Yeah, thankfully. Speaking with Lance Plibel, Wood County Board Chairman, Lance, it was a week ago that we got the breaking news here on the station that our current mayor Sharon Blaser was not going to be seeking a third term. In the week since, I've talked to a lot of our community. I maybe more than I ever have on a subject. Just reaching out to people I know, people I don't know, just everyday citizens, to people in positions like yourself, and just kind of. I wanted to hear from people, not on the record. I want to hear people off the record. I want to hear how they really feel and what was going on two factors. One, how they felt about Mayor Blaser, and two, how they feel going forward. And as far as the mayor went, I swear by this. I put my name by this. I didn't have one person say a bad thing about Mayor Blaser.
Well, let's not start now.
Yeah, right. I mean, especially the guy's on his way out. No. So I'm going to start. No. I thought that was noteworthy, and I thought that was pretty cool. And you don't have that happen with a politician very often. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And a big shout out to him. And we'll have time to, sing his praises and talk about the work that he did, as we get a little bit closer to his reign ending, if you will. But what I was really interested in, and this is just between the three of us, okay?
Sure.
I'm kidding.
And everybody else out there listening or watching.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I'm going to be very genuine, very vulnerable with all of you right now. I am concerned. I am concerned about where we go, what's going to happen next. I have not heard any names of any candidates. I haven't heard anybody even say that they want to throw their hat in the ring or anything like that. And that's just it. I haven't heard anybody talking about this. Now, usually this kind of thing happens in about a day or two later, almost before the body's even cold. You've got people saying, I'm going to try this, or I want to throw my hat in the ring or whatever. But we're seeing, and you realize this better than most of us, Lance, being on a board, we're having less and less community members want to take positions in public works, in public office. And with that concern, you have less talent out there to choose from, if you will, for lack of a better way to put it. So then you have people, you have a misunderstanding, I think, of the job for some people. You have some people that want to do the job to get their 15 seconds of fame or just because they like a little bit of power or whatever. And then you have some people, hopefully, genuinely out there that actually care about this position. But one of the concerns I heard from people was just that. Who's next? We've had a pretty great run here in this area when it comes to our mayors and comes to people in these positions. So I'm curious from your perspective, not just with the next mayor and who's going to run for this position, but when it comes to board members and these things, for you, behind the scenes, from you and your colleagues, is this as much of a concern as it is with some of the citizens of how we're going to have people running for office and running for these positions?
That's a lot of questions. First of all, Mayor Blaser.
Well, yeah, you can.
The mayor called me about...
Anytime you want to give me an outline, you could choose the questions,
The mayor called me several days before the announcement, informed me that this was going to be his intention. And Mayor Blaser's been a great mayor to work with. He's a good human being, and I would also find it probably difficult to find somebody who'd say something bad about him. He's been a joy to work with. We've had a cooperative relationship, and as the county, kind of overarching throughout the entire geographic area. I mean, obviously we deal with Marshfield, Rapids, and all of the other communities, towns, villages, cities. But he's been an extremely cooperative partner in all the endeavors, and I think it works both ways, city to county, county to city. So I was really sorry to see him make the announcement, and I expressed that to him. Mm-hmm. And I was also concerned, one of the questions I asked was, is there somebody in waiting? Is there a leadership vacuum? Where do we go next? And the hope always is that, somebody will step up. And that was one of your questions or one of your concerns. I think that comes down to, when you live in, when you are in the public eye, sometimes the criticism is unbelievable. And the criticism often comes without anybody doing the research. I had some conversations right now. We have I'm going to digress a little bit. We have a resolution coming forth before the county board that deals with some of the issues the health department dealt with during COVID and what some people saw around the state as an overreach, but never happened here. And I made the comment in a meeting the other day, said, for years, it hurts you internally. You don't verbalize it usually, but, you know, there was press that said, you know, Wood County's desecrating graves up at Powers Bluff. And I would go to places and they'd go, you know, Lance or Mr. Plumley, you need to stop desecrating and digging up Native American graves. Well, the State Historical Society and the Native American groups as a whole said, that's never even occurred once, let alone you need to stop. So, you know, oftentimes we get those phone calls, you get those criticisms, and people have never even delved into the issue. So it's hard to get people to step up. You know, you can stay at home and you don't get those, you know, javelins tossed at you all day long and do your own thing, or you can step up into leadership and be willing to deal with that. And, you know, Mayor Blazer's one of those who's been, he's out there, you know, at the forefront, in front of the public all the time. In the conversation with him, he said, you know, maybe that's a little bit what takes a toll on you when you're that accessible. Mm-hmm. You know, you're there every day. I've had a number of people call me on a recent issue coming up, the one I was just talking about, or email me. And if they leave me a phone number or a way to contact, I call every one of them. And usually the answer I get is, you're calling me? Yeah, I want your input. I want to know why it is you have the take you have on this particular issue. What is it that I might be missing, or what can I add to the conversation, or what can we do better? And our mayor was like that. So I was kidding Mayor Blaze, but I was teasing Shane the other day as a friend, and I said, now I got to train a new mayor. You know, when you've been around for a long time, you really don't train mayors, but you do develop working relationships. We have a newer mayor in Marshfield. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime you have somebody that's new to the job, unless they come from within, if they were a deputy mayor or something, it's a huge learning curve. Yeah. And that's probably part of the fear. And I can tell this to the public, there ain't anybody out there at the local level that's getting rich serving in county government. Right. So your point is, you know, somebody might have a power trip or something else or a single issue they want to deal with, but nobody's doing it for the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that's another consideration in today's world. It's tougher to make ends meet. We live in a society today where typically both members of the couple, you know, work just to get by. And you go, yeah. After I do those things with my family and my those other responsibilities, I don't have a lot of extra time. And there's a time commitment. So anyway, Mayor Blazer, Shane, we're going to be sorry to see you go. I know we've got several months yet. We'll see what we can get accomplished. But it's been, from a county's perspective, it's been a real pleasure working with you and the council.
Are there, I'll break these down in single questions. Are there a concern with you and your colleagues of getting more people to run for office or run on or be on, a part of boards?
Yeah, I think the general answer is, you know, yes. And I don't know that it's just in politics. I mean, it's all those things that have supported communities over the years. It's, you know, those charitable organizations, you know, fraternal organizations that contribute a tremendous amount. You know, I even see, I'm probably the worst example, but, you know, I see attendance even at church services where, you know, where money comes into those organizations which also support other charitable things. And I see attendance, you know, in those opportunities, in those places dropping. So, you know, we need a public that's just more involved everywhere. Mm-hmm. Throughout the community. You know, I was laughing. You heard me. You just walked out of here. You know, Terry Johns just walked out of here with the United Way. Couldn't have a better program. Mm-hmm. I was kidding you because I said, you guys are having too much fun in here. I could hear the laughter out in the hall. But, I mean, look what they do. I mean, that's not a government program. That's people reaching out, digging deep into their pockets to help run those programs that they find important in a community. So it's not just political or government boards. Mm-hmm. It's United Way volunteers, Boys and Girls Club, you know, all of the shelters that we run in town, all the food pantries, all of those things. You need community involvement.
How do we get people more involved?
You know, if I had that answer, we'd have it, you know, we'd already accomplished it. I really think it starts in educating people, I mean, really young. I'm talking even pre-high school. You know, if we can get those people involved in those various activities that they enjoy, you know, first of all, find something you like to do. Mm-hmm. And then do it. You know, I don't know anybody, you know, I don't do it a lot, but I have gone and worked at some of the community table events and some of those other ones. you know, sometimes you feel like you're dragging yourself to an event like that, or you help Habitat for Humanity or one of those things. But when you get there and you're done, there's a real sense of accomplishment. There's a real sense of I helped somebody, I did something in the community, and somebody wasn't reaching in my pocket to take it. I did it out of the goodness of my heart. I did it because I wanted to. So I guess I would start with, you know, early education, letting those people, those young, you know, young individuals know in school what opportunities are out there.
I don't know if it's it's well known or not, but many of the conversations, early conversations we had with Mayor Blazer were centered around him not really choosing to do this. He kind of like was asked to do this and decided to jump, throw his hat into the ring. And here we are 4 or 5 years later with him doing the job. But it's part of the reason I bring this up. When we're looking for people to be the next mayor or be the next board member, they may not even realize that they are the next board member or the next mayor. There's people out there listening that may have never been in the politics or never thought about doing this kind of thing. So for that, for those people out there, what are we looking for out of our public officials, in your opinion, Matt?
Well, you know, generally, it boils down to some extent to leadership, but it's really an openness to listen. You know, that old adage, you know, you have two ears, one mouth.
Yep.
Close your mouth, listen a little bit more. And the ability to realize that you're not always right, that there's other opinions out there. Often the best decision comes from those people in the public. You got to, you know, don't bury your head in the sand. Listen.
Yeah.
Be somebody who can adapt to change. Mm-hmm. Have courage. You know, I made a speech the other day and I said, you know, the ability to go along to get along is not always the courageous answer, and courage is tough. And, you know, one of the things, and sometimes it's criticism that gets leveled at, you know, mayors or board members, council members, is, you know, you made a decision and I wanted to do it this way. And often I say, you know, you don't have all the information. If you had all the information I had, you probably would have made a decision. And usually after I explain it, they go, you're right. But the information, we probably don't do a good enough job disseminating it. But people don't do a good enough job looking for it.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to some of them, I'll use my own kids as an example. You know, and they're not kids anymore, they're in their 30s. You know, they're trying to get by, they're trying to buy a house, they're trying to do those kind of things. And I'll say, did you hear on the news, or did you read, or did you see? And they go, we don't have time to do that. Well, if you don't make time to do that, then you're not going to make very good decisions. So, you know, what we're looking for generally are people that will commit, take the time. You know, if you're a county board supervisor, I don't know, you probably get at least 200 to 300 pages of material to read every month to be prepared. I don't have anybody like that at this time, but you know, there's been boards I've sat on in the past where people are opening up that packet to look at that stuff while the meeting's starting. Well, if you didn't start looking at it 3, 4, 5 days ahead of time, and studying, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, somebody who's willing to be prepared, willing to commit the time, willing to listen, and willing to be part of a team. And a lot of it comes down to compromise, to collaboration, because as you're seeing right now in the House of Representatives, congressional level, you kind of have a plan, kind of have to know where you're going. But more importantly, sometimes you have to compromise a little bit, or you get nothing done. So I say, I want it my way, but if you don't get it your way, nothing gets done. So oftentimes, we throw away a good solution in search of a perfect one, and I'm one who let's do the good one and work on the perfect.
Yeah, and to piggyback off that latter part that you mentioned there, I would think that a big part of public service is realizing it's not about you. It's about your constituents. It's about the community. I mean, your opinion is nice, but it's not necessarily actually really matters that much when it comes to this. You have a job to do, and you're representing a whole wide variety of opinions and thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, you know, right. And the interesting part about that is if I'm conversing with somebody, whether it be, you know, in person or, you know, through email or text, their issue that day is the most important issue. I get that.
Yeah.
And if it becomes somewhat of a community issue, you know, then it's something that we have to drive. But the understanding that that's the most important thing to them. However, when you balance the need of the community, sometimes you have to, you know, step a little bit back, take a look at it and go, how does it benefit everybody? And, you know, we deal with that with some of the consortiums that we're part of, some of those regional cooperations where, you know, you may see, and it can be in the county alone, you may see a slightly diminished service exactly where you live. Was where, you know, where I live, Grand Rapids, Wisconsin, or something. But there's a huge increase in the service in Pittsville and Marshfield, and you know, in Sherry and Vesper and Rudolph, and everywhere in between. So you know, you have to balance the the immediacy of the need. You have to balance probably the geographic location where that is with, I'll call it, the common good of the whole county. That can be difficult.
Well, and I think we're every one of us, especially here in Central Wisconsin, specifically in Rapids, in Nakusa, I think we're faced with that every day. The trains. I mean, we put up with the trains. We understand why we put up with the trains. It's commerce. It's the economy. It helps our economy out and everything. There is not one person in Rapids or in this area that has not been frustrated by a train at some point in their life. But you put up with it because that's dollar signs passing through right there. So to your point, I think that we are adults about this, have to learn to be better adults about it, I think, in some ways.
Yeah, you know, I've been a big proponent of an overpass or an underpass there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is for emergency vehicle access.
Absolutely.
You know, we have a fairly large community without a way to get around that. Mm-hmm. When those trains block those intersections. And I actually was on the phone, it was probably a year or two ago, just made a quick call to the Sheriff's Department. I had a question. And I know we don't have a lot of regulatory authority with the mm-hmm. railroads. I met, you know, previously with Congressman Kind yeah. when he was in Congress. Yeah. Had conversations with Congressman Van Orden. Mm-hmm. But all that said, there's still a need. I mean, when you have to get from one side of the town to the other side of town with an emergency vehicle and you don't have a way to get around the railroad because they've been blocking the intersection for 20 minutes, which, by the way, isn't legal, but it happens.
It happens.
And there's nobody
they
to call.
They just pay a fine.
Yeah, there's nobody to call. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those things, you're right.
Do you think it's just a matter of time before that overpass happens? Because we've been talking about that a long time.
Yeah, my concern is I'll be dead before that ever happens.
Right, I'm with you.
Yeah. I didn't have gray hair and I was a lot younger. I'm not sure I had kids when we started that conversation. I think at some point it has to happen. And when you look at all the federal money out there, you know, some of the, you know, it's termed the Build Back Better dollars and some of those other things, I would think there would be opportunity when they look at a community this size and the number of emergency vehicles that we have and can bring to bear in an emergency, that's kind of important. So I would hope someday we see something like that.
Hopefully it doesn't take a horrible situation to make us realize that we've skated by pretty well on this subject for a long time. And that's not to make light of anybody who has been affected by it, but it hasn't been a situation where it's in the public's eye and in their thoughts all the time. So I think that it's something that's very similar to the jail. That's bound to happen one of these days. We're just kicking the can right now.
Yeah, I mean, and when you look at, you know, some of the duplication of service we have, and not picking on any, but you know, one that probably is pretty high profile comes to mind when you look at a fire department. Well, you know, why do we have fire stations on both sides of the tracks? And I'm not saying that in and of itself might not be a good idea. It's because if you have an emergency response and you got a train blocking it, you better be able to get there.
Right.
You know, and we have that same situation with a number of the services we provide. So, you know, would I like to see that? Yes. It's probably a city project. Or a federal project. I don't know that we have a lot of say in it as a county. Although Wisconsin's really interesting. You know, in Wisconsin, there's no state highway department.
I find that very
interesting. The counties do all the maintenance on that. We don't build them, but we maintain them. You know, we plow the snow and we do all that work. So I'm not exactly sure who's responsible for, or if there's a number of us all together who are responsible. Yeah. But it would certainly be nice to see that done.
Lance, as we're wrapping up here, I wanted to mention that the meetings that are going on and that people can take in these meetings with our Wood County Board, you can find them actually at the our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media's website. You guys do a great job recording those, and I'm able to do a lot of my homework for these interviews with those and also check out what's going on in our community. I believe you got one coming up here in just a little bit. It looks like the North Central Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission. Are you a part of that?
I do attend those virtually usually.
Okay.
You know, that when we talk about that, I mean, you can be an elected official, but there's a lot of boards that I can appoint people to that our cities do, I'm sure, as well, where it's tremendous public service. And it's not something where you need to be an elected official often to serve. And they're very important in that respect that you actually do that. Your point on packets, I had a lady the other day, very, very nice lady, very concerned on an issue. And we were talking about a particular issue, resolution the county's going to deal with. And she was talking about something. I said, well, have you actually seen the resolution? And she had written me a very nice letter in favor of. But I said, have you read it? And she said, no. And I said, it is available. And then the question was, and leads right to what you ask, where do I find that? Well, Google, if you don't remember the website, Wood County, Wisconsin. You go to the website, and we list every meeting, every agenda, and every packet. So you're seeing exactly the same thing every county board supervisor is seeing when they walk into that meeting. And so if you do have an interest, the best way to be prepared is to go to the website, read the material.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. As Lance was saying that, I clicked on what he was talking about. It pops right up for me. It's right there. It's very easy to keep up to date on these things. And as we are looking at, some unopened position in our mayorship and other things going forward here and getting into a bigger political season in 2024, we can lead you to water, but we can't make you drink. You got to do the homework, everybody. You've got to do the details. If you really care about your area, you got to put in the work. You got to do some homework. This is no different than most things in life. You can't read headlines. You can't just look at hear what your Fred, your neighbor said. Do your own homework and research these things, especially when in an area like ours where the information is so easy to access.
And if you're going to run for mayor, for instance, and that's an important position in our area, you probably should know what the mayor does. What the scope of that
job
is.
Sounds like a good idea.
It doesn't mean you've been a mayor before. Mm-hmm. But you alluded to it before. Typically, I get calls going, what do you think? Should I? Shouldn't I? I've had nobody call me in regard to a run for that position. So it'll be interesting as they go forward and to see who throws their hat in the ring.
I'm sure we'll be talking about it again real soon, and we'll talk next month, Lance. Thanks a lot for the time.
Thanks, James. Always appreciate it.
And a big thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate the gang over there. Get to YouTube, subscribe to their page. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Trudy's doing DC, baby. The rest of the week I'll be there. I got some big guests lined up.
And you'll have to tune in for those very special guests live from Washington, D.C. this Wednesday and Thursday. Catch the broadcast starting at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A car dealer in northern Wisconsin discriminates against American Indian customers. Brittany Merlot has the story.
The Rhinelander Auto Group settles a $1.1 million discrimination lawsuit against American Indian customers. The FTC and the Wisconsin DOJ say that they regularly charged many of their customers junk fees for add-on products or services without their consent. In total, American Indians paid on average approximately $1,300 more for add-ons and credit transactions than non-Latino white customers since 2016. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said the companies must not be permitted to engage in discriminatory practices or improperly charge customers for add-on products or services. The Rhinelander Auto Group stated in part, "We reject that our people, many of whom are long-term members of the local community, would engage in the practices alleged. Provide $1.1 million to be used for refunds to consumers."
And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 54. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow, 65, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 61.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 25th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and I am joined right now by some of our favorite people. We have our friends from the ODC with us today. First off, want to say hello to our friend Callie. Callie Johnson's with us. Hey, Callie, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for being here. Always good to see you.
Yes.
And thank you so much for bringing some wonderful people with you. We have Odessa and Travis with us. Odessa, it's good to see you again.
Hello, nice to see you, too.
How you been?
Awesome.
Wait, you're not coming here to take my job, are you? This is like the second time you've been here now.
I think it's my third.
It's your third. I gotta watch out for you. You're gonna take my job. No, it's always good to see you. Thank you very much for being here. I'm looking forward to talking more. Travis, I don't know if you've joined us before, have you?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not yet.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Travis. Thanks a lot for being here, man. Looking forward to talking to you in just a moment. Odessa, I understand that recently you were at a self-determination conference. Mm-hmm. How did that go?
It went really well, just like last year. I think this year was a lot more bigger crowd as far as those who went. It was just a lot more from Marshfield and a few from Rapids besides myself, and I think some from Plover as well. So we had a nice, I believe we all had a nice time, and it was really nice days too. I mean, because last year was like a little bit cooler, but this year was just right.
It was right weather
just
this year.
Right.
That's nice.
Weather.
That is nice. What kind of things did you do there?
Most, just like last year, like usually they have like a bunch of things that, like different vendors, and they can just browse around, and then you have sessions you do. And one of the sessions that I thought was part of my favorites is learning about podcasting.
Hmm, cool.
And you know what podcasting is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do a podcast with my daughter. Yeah. It's fun, yeah. So you've learned about that. That's a cool thing to learn about. That's fun.
So podcasting is kind of like radio, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. Yeah, I think it's that's a very good comp. It's very much like radio. So you enjoyed that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Very cool.
Yep, especially when they talked about, like, in order to become like a podcaster, of course you have to think about like anything. They have to think about like the starting basics, you have to have a title, your logos and stuff.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. My daughter took care of all that. I am not good at that stuff. And I'm glad you're getting into podcasting and not radio, Callie. I need this job. Don't you take my job for nothing? She said that's very cool. That's a really fun thing for people, especially I would imagine for the creative world to be you guys to be able to get into. Callie, if you don't mind, when it comes to conferences like this, how vital are they with not only the work you guys are doing but for your clients?
I think it's extremely vital. This year we did various brat fries to help raise funds to be able to send clients or the individuals who we support who are interested in self-determination or learning more about their rights and self-advocacy. We raised money to be able to send because we do, like Odessa said, have more and more folks who are interested in just like any conference for anybody. It's investing in yourself. It's growing. It's learning new things that you didn't even know about before. And it's meeting new people and interacting, like Odessa mentioned, with vendors and just stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit. So it's extremely vital. These opportunities are instrumental in everyone's development, and we're just excited when the individuals who we support want to take advantage of those opportunities to work on themselves and learn and grow. So I really commend Odessa and the other folks who stepped up and attended, and again, the community who supports our efforts to be able to offer these types of opportunities.
We've been doing this a while, Callie. You saw right where I was going with this, I think, because I do find all that very interesting, and most importantly, what it can do for the clients and people like you, Odessa, and everything. That's a beautiful thing right there. But in order to be able to do these things, we do need the community support. We do need you guys participating at Milkweed Market or Haunted House events like we just had, and we're going to talk with Travis about and everything. So I do appreciate that, Callie. Not only that feedback right there that you gave, but this community as well, so that we can have things like this.
Right. Nobody can do it alone.
Yep.
We all need that support system and that encouragement to just, A, present these options so people know about them, but B, take advantage of them when they're there, and the community support to be able to do that rely on that.
Right. Takes a village. When it comes to these conferences, are they something that you and the staff are also able to learn things from and attend?
Yes. Hmm. Yep. Staff go to accompany the folks who, might need some additional supports, but it really is about learning self-advocacy and, right, Odessa, like what you're capable of all on your own. And I think that your eyes are open to that when you go to that type of conference.
It seems like a really nice reminder and a chance to really give some self-empowerment, to really show that you can do things and that it's your life and you're in control in these things. And that's a beautiful thing right there. That's cool. Odessa, was there anything else about the conference that you thought were noteworthy that you wanted to touch on, mention or anything? Because it sounded like a real fun time.
Oh, yes. I think one of the stuff that I thought was my favorite, other than just seeing everyone, especially when you sometimes you start as with like last year and this year, and you start to see some other different faces, you know, like because you know, like last year was more like an anniversary. Mm-hmm. This year, I think it was just more just an ordinary year. So
that's cool.
So other than that, I did see like other like throughout the vendors, that there was one that was talking to me that were talking to me about learning how, you know, especially those who love games and all that, to learn how to create your own game or something.
Wow, neat. Oh, that is really cool. Mm. That is cool. I'm so glad you had a good time at the conference. That's really cool. Were you able to take in the Halloween event, the Haunted House?
I was at work on Friday, so I did see a lot of it starting to come to life. Mm-hmm. But throughout from the conference, I was just too wiped out.
I don't blame you.
But I did hear a lot of good comments about how it turned out. So
you aren't alone. My partner here in that station, Seth, him and his boy went down to it. And the first thing on Monday when I saw him, the first thing he wanted to talk about was the Haunted House and how well attended it was and how great it was. Travis, you guys had a big turnout for this. It was pretty cool to see, I bet.
Yes, it was.
Before we talk about the event, I wanted to just rewind a little bit and how it was created and how much time went into it and creativity went into it. Were you a part of the creating of the Haunted House, Travis?
I was just working there Friday night and Saturday night.
Cool. I imagine a lot of time and a lot of energy went into this.
Yep, there was 2,500 people showed up.
It's incredible. Incredible. I did a double take at that number, Kelly. I thought that was beyond impressive.
We did not know what to expect. We did do it last year. We, you know, have a group of people who are crazy obsessed with Halloween.
Very into Halloween. Yes, very into
setting. Which is great. Yeah. And so one gal has, her name's Amanda, an enormous amount of inflatables, animatronics, characters, costumes, decorations. And so we really tapped into her resources. And again, last year we started it at our Marshfield ODC. We had about 600 folks come through. This year we're going to try it in Rapids, see how it goes. We knew the Facebook event was blowing up. So oh my gosh, we might get 1,000 people at this one. And then to have 2,500 people come through.
It's incredible.
Again, though, as part of an initiative that ODC is really trying to tap into, our whole tagline is connecting people and communities. We want to be able to give back to our community as much as we are a not-for-profit. We're like, what can we do to, as a free community event? That just brings people together. It's really as simple as that.
Especially, you know, it's a little different than when we were kids and, you know, trick-or-treating these days. Parents want their, you know, events more than necessarily letting the kids just kind of run out there, come back before dark, you know, that kind of thing. And so having more events like that are key, I think, to communities going forward. And then there's events like this where we're able to be a part of it while also knowing if I take my kids there, I'm also putting back into my community. I'm adding to the ODC. I'm adding to the clients there, to the work you guys do. So there's that added bonus that is not only great for us as adults, but kids are watching. Kids are taking these things in.
Right.
They're seeing you go out of your way to go to an ODC haunted house because you believe in the ODC and you want to add to the ODC along with having a good time.
Correct. Yes. It's a win-win for both us and the community and families who are looking for things to do. And again, free donations were accepted. We do know how generous people can be, but we don't want to hinder anybody who, you know, gets uncomfortable or can't afford or wants to be able to do these fun things with their families but don't have the means. That's what we're there for. And it a lot of work does go into it, but we're happy to do that, to be able to give back to our community. I mean, that gives so much to us.
And we're so thankful not only to this this community and overwhelming support that they give to events like this, but to you guys at the ODC for thinking of these things, for opening your doors to us as a community and welcoming us and everything. That's a pretty cool thing, too. It's such a mutual thing. It's such a mutual beneficial thing and a mutual, like, appreciation thing. Like, hey, we appreciate you. No, we appreciate you. It's just this back and forth of, like, constantly kind of...
That's absolutely
like,
how it
no,
was.
Thank you.
And
no, thank you.
And people waited, like, gosh, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And no complaints.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, you saw the best of people really that night.
Well said.
And that's exactly what we hoped for and wanted. And the food truck vendors, we had Fleur de Lis out of Marshfield. We had Trippy Treats here in Rapids and Rocky Rococo's from Rapids. All said that they did just fantastic and were very much supported that night. And again, just good feels, good vibes, and a good time for everybody. And Trav, he can tell you who he was dressed as.
Yeah, Travis, I want to know what you were dressed as. What were you doing at the Haunted House?
I was dressed up as Freddy Krueger and scaring people.
Oh, I can see you. I bet you made a good Freddy Krueger. I bet you
did.
Did you have fun doing it?
Yep, that was fun.
Did you have the hat and the
sweater and the
fingers?
See, Odessa asking the great interview questions. She really is going to take my job. She really That was a good question. That was a good question. So you got all in the gear. You had fun doing that. Was that one of the main job that you did at the Haunted House?
Oh, yeah.
Were there other people dressed up as stuff?
Yep. There was, like, Freddy Krueger. And then there was a bunch of clowns.
Oh, nice, nice,
And then
nice.
There was a witch, and then there was a chef behind the kitchen.
Cool. Travis, were you and your friends there, were you guys surprised by how many people came?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? That was pretty cool, I bet.
Yep.
I understand, Travis, you have a job that you wanted to tell us about that you do as well. What are you doing for work?
I work at Anytime Fitness for 10 years. I'm a cleaner, and I got a free membership.
Nice.
And
nice.
I like the customers because they're always nice to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool to hear, man. That's very, very cool to hear. And I've heard nothing but good things about the people and the staff over there at Anytime Fitness. It's not surprising.
Yeah.
You've been there 10 years, huh?
10 years.
Wow. What is it about the job that you enjoy?
Well, when they have, like, dirty rags, I take them home and wash them and then dry them and then take them to work and fold them
nice.
Up.
Nice. That's cool. That's very cool.
And I would like to say thank you, Emily, for hiring me back. And I would like to say welcome to the team, Dana. You are the best as boss.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Travis. Well said. Very well said, sir. I'd like to take this opportunity to businesses out there to let them know, especially in this day and age when people are looking for good workers all over the place. We've got them. They're right at the ODC.
Mm-hmm.
People like Travis, people like Odessa are just sitting there waiting to be put into the workforce. Callie, I understand that it is a main part of the job there at the ODC to not only empower your clients, but to help them find jobs, help them find independence, if you will. Maybe that's a better way to put it. But when it comes to you talking to businesses, and here's a straight up opportunity to just be talking straight to businesses right now. How do you, I don't want to say sell this to them, but how do you pitch this to them? How do you talk about this with businesses when we're talking about getting your clients and the clients at the ODC, I should say, into the workforce?
Yeah. Well, I think these two, if you just listen to them and how much they enjoy the work that they do and how proud they are to be a part of an employment opportunity or any employer would be lucky to have.
They kind of sell themselves,
or
they?
An Odessa. Yeah, you don't really need me, but I mean, just the fact that Trav just gave a shout out to his boss and, you know, the appreciation for the job and wanting to work hard and taking pride of your work is huge. So they sell themselves, but I feel like if employers are hesitant or unsure, they should definitely stop in at ODC, email us, or call to just at least ask questions, have the conversation. There are temporary work experience opportunities where we can put folks in a role and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. There's no commitment in the beginning, just to, you know, just like a job shadow or an internship to see how it all works out. But more often than not, you're not going to be disappointed that you tried it, and you'll end up hiring the individual. And everybody wants a job. Everybody wants to feel good about the work that they do. It totally builds self-confidence and helps you feel better about yourself, earning a paycheck and just feeling like, you know, an inclusive part of our society by working hard and earning your work.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that one of the biggest things that you look for as an employer is loyalty, hard work, you know, and somebody who's going to care, who's going to put their heart into the job and everything. And it's harder and harder to find for a lot of businesses out there. Those three qualities you get with every client at the ODC. It's built in. It's right there. You can't put a price on something like that. That part of it is very intriguing to me.
The skills can be learned, right?
Yes.
The skill set, whether it's cleaning, whether it's administrative tasks, whether it's Odessa does a lot of phone calls for our PR department. You know, she can certainly, she's totally capable of improvising, but we could, you know, you can offer that script and then say, add your own touch to if you're thankful, because you get to do these opportunities. So a lot of the skills can be taught. But like you said, those innate qualities of loving your job and wanting to do a good job. It's hard to teach that.
Yeah. And I'm so thankful this came up because I haven't thought about this in probably two decades, but and I've mentioned this many times that my Aunt Pat was benefited by the ODC and Pam and the work that she did one-on-one with her and helping her and everything. This is the very early days of the ODC because I'm old and I've been around for a while, but this was a long time ago this took place. But one of the things I hadn't thought about in a long time was my Aunt Pat's first job after her accident that happened was at Shopko, and the ODC helped her get that job. And it wasn't long after that that my aunt was going out more and doing more things. And at this point now, I'm not sure where she is. I know she's doing well, she's happy, but she travels all the time now. She's got a husband, she travels, like she's out there bopping around and everything. That doesn't happen without Pam. That doesn't happen without the ODC. And that's something that the part of this I hadn't thought of is the employer. And how good they will feel giving an opportunity to one of these clients. We have so many great nonprofits, so many great businesses in this area that love to step up and help out and do what they can to benefit another business or another nonprofit. Here is a PR dream of being able to help somebody, help a client at the ODC, while also knowing that you're going to feel dang good doing this too, you know, helping somebody get a step up, helping somebody gain some independence. That has a benefit on you as well. I don't think we think about that or talk about that very often, but yes, it's good PR. It helps your business. You have a good employee. Those are all great things. But as a human being, the good feeling that you get from helping somebody else out, I don't think about that very often, but I was thinking of my Aunt Pat's old boss at Shopko and how much she loved my aunt and how sad she was when my aunt had to move and everything. And, you know, employers get a lot from this too, not just the you know, economic impact.
Right. Yeah, it does go overlooked. I mean, it is kind of a natural feeling. I mean, it just becomes a natural fit when you find that person and you realize they care and they're doing a good job for you. You're realizing you're coming to those realizations that it's good for both on both ends. So I would just encourage people to give it a try. Like if you're even thinking about it, come have the conversation with some of our employment coordinators who, you know, have a caseload of folks who want to work, often know the fields that they want to work in and can really match people up with those employers to do a good job.
If I'm a business and I would like to reach out to you guys about this, just get a hold of the regular number. Just look at the website, odc.com, or is that...
odcinc.com.
odcinc.com, yes.
Follow us on Facebook and reach out, or just call the general line and we'll get you pointed in the right direction.
I'll make sure to get that information out before we wrap up.
Yes.
I did want to wrap up a little bit because I just got a couple of minutes left. I want to talk a little Milkweed Market with you. You know how much I love that place.
I know. Well, yeah, we see. right here.
Yeah, well, I'm always advertising
you
guys.
The world, yep. The Higgs and the t-shirts, Ring Splash, you're like decked out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Big fan, big supporter.
Especially all the fall stuff I'm seeing now. It's like, oh man.
Oh, is that all out, Odessa? The fall stuff is out? That's cool.
Fall stuff is beautiful.
I thought I saw some popcorn in there now.
There is kettle corn. Yes, so
if
good.
If anyone loves popcorn, go all right, grab a bag.
That's it. I'm going over there. You guys take care of the rest of the interview. I'm going over there.
Yeah.
We got creative things coming up with the milkweed market.
Yeah, so next weekend already, I can't even believe it, but a lot of the shops do it, their holiday open houses, right away the first week of November. So Milkweed Markets is November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And again, the store will be flipped and transitioned to all of the Christmas and holiday decor and goods that you can imagine.
That's right.
And we always get a good crowd at that. And just throughout the holiday season, people are becoming more and more thoughtful and have supported us since day one. But to shop local, like before you, if you think you can't find it in town, like just at least stop in some of these small businesses and take a look. You'll be surprised. Our pricing is competitive and it's a feel-good purchase. Again, you're supporting ODC's mission to empower people with disabilities, but you're also you're gaining something out of it too.
Yeah, you're investing in your community. You're not only getting some awesome, you know, individual items that you probably can't find anywhere else, which my mother loves, but you also are putting back in your community. You're making an investment in your community. It is a win-win situation.
Right. Yep. And we, of course, will be celebrating Black Friday and Small Business Saturday later in November too. Mm-hmm. So if you're on social media, follow Milkweed Market on Facebook. That's where sometimes they'll post giveaways.
Yeah,
they'll post contests and coupons. And they'll, of course, post all the up-to-date event information and some pics, some teaser pics of some of the products that they're making in the store. So, and you'll see the folks who we support, the individuals who we support working in there. And so please stop in this holiday season, see what they have to offer. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah. You can find out more at odcinc.com. That's odcinc.com. Be sure to go there. And you can always give them a call, too. Again, if you're a business or anybody else that would like to contact the ODC, 715-424-2717. That's 424-2712. That is the phone number, 424-2712. That's the number to call. Odessa, Travis, thank you so much for hanging out with us today, putting up with my questions and everything. Thank you both so much. You guys got to come back soon, okay?
Yeah.
Callie, you can come too. Okay. No, Callie, you got it. You know we love you, Callie. We appreciate you. Thanks so much to you and the team over there. Say hi to everybody over at the ODC staff for us, you guys, and we'll talk again real soon.
And again, if I just want to add, you know, going to this conference is a great experience, and if I hopefully will like to go again next year, but still, if there are still those who still want to go next year, it's don't be afraid to ask to go.
Thank you for that, Otis. Thank you.
I mean, really, it's a nice experience.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And thank you for the time, you three. We'll talk again real
soon. Thanks for having us.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. The House is getting straight to work after electing new Speaker Mike Johnson.
The first bill that I'm going to bring to this floor in just a little while will be in support of our dear friend Israel, and we're overdue in getting that done.
Johnson's a staunch conservative from Louisiana. He replaces Kevin McCarthy. President Biden's hosting Australia's prime minister today at the White House and answered questions about the war in the Middle East.
Israel has the right, and I would add a responsibility, to respond to the slaughter of their people.
The U.S. is also working to get hostages released as Israel prepares for a ground offensive against Hamas. Mexico is still getting slammed by Hurricane Otis. CBS's Adrian Bard is there.
A lot of things were flying around in the air, from pieces of balconies to windows to even beach chairs.
The storms weakened a bit but made landfall this morning as a Category 5 storm. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least 17 people have died on Wisconsin dairy farms since 2009, but only 8 of those deaths were investigated by federal workplace safety agents. That's according to an investigation by the nonprofit newsroom ProPublica. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is the federal agency responsible for workplace safety, but OSHA is banned from enforcing safety laws on many farms with fewer than 11 workers. Another day, another cyber attack in Wisconsin. This time, the Rock County Administrative Offices in Janesville says it was hit. The county's administrator says a criminal actor hacked the county's network database, encrypted some files, and demanded almost $2 million to put everything back the way it was. The headquarters of Quick Trip and American Family Insurance were also recently hacked. I'm Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.